following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The second day of December. 22 shopping days remain for you, Damon Day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The shock of the 3 hours of yesterday's Doug and Daddy Show, Nebraska Football Talk. We can continue that today, folks. We loved all the emails, all the correspondence, all the tweets, all the Facebook messages, the phone calls, and we're open again today. We will.
I thought this was the Loper baseball season preview show. Yeah. I thought that's what we were bringing me in today to discuss moving forward. And you know,
could you have any more Under Armour stuff on?
Could I? I don't know. To be honest, that's the greatest part about being a head guy is you get all the samples. They find out the head coach's sample size and they send everything to him in that size. So you're right. I should get you some.
Unbelievable.
I will make sure that you get some Under Armour golf shirts for next golf season. I will. I know a guy that can make that happen.
I know a guy. He knows a guy. Jason Boyd, Kearney High girls basketball coach, is going to join us. They're ranked fifth in the state in today's preseason rankings. They open up the season this weekend. We'll also be talking with Dirk Chatlin of the Omaha World Herald. Again, questions, comments for any of our guests, Damon, myself, it's all right here. But we had a little fun yesterday. We've talked with some folks that, you know, aren't from Nebraska. You didn't grow up in Nebraska. You have a different view. Even though you grew up in Big Ten country, you were more of a Notre Dame fan.
Yes.
With some nods towards what goes on in and around Indiana, especially for hoops.
Yep.
Your take on all this.
Crazy.
You guys at UNK are looking for a football coach, and now we're looking for a football coach at our Division I institution.
You know, It's as an outsider looking in, it is very hard to digest you firing a coach who won 9 games in 7 seasons and ran a clean program. And I think that's where, just as an outsider looking in, I thought, in my opinion, that the Huskers represent everything that is great about the state of Nebraska. And I thought the team represented the state very, very well. And it seems to me that, I mean, would we celebrate Jameis Winston as our starting quarterback because he was winning games? But then, I mean, and so that's the double-edged sword that I think sometimes gets lost in this whole thing as far as, okay, he didn't do great in certain types of games, but the program was on solid footing for a player or two to kind of put you over the hump. And that's the thing that I really think that, and you're looking at this, is that, you know, they had Amir Abdullah, who's a dynamic playmaker. The thing that I think, unfortunately, was his ultimate demise was his quarterback play. I mean, at the end of the day, there is not the dynamic quarterback to take them to the next level. If you look at everybody who we're talking about right now that has an opportunity to go play for the playoff or was playing in a conference championship this weekend, everybody has a dynamic quarterback that can take the game over and make plays on his own. And unfortunately, Coach Pelini did not get Tommy Armstrong to that level of time to where Tommy Armstrong could take a game over and could kind of stem the tide type of thing. And so outsider looking in, I know as a University of Notre Dame diehard fan, if you told me you can have a coach that for seven straight seasons is going to get you nine wins, sign me up.
I know.
And no off-the-field issues, sign me up. I would love that.
So you're blaming Taylor Martinez, because had he got the job done and not got hurt, Tommy Armstrong, we would have never heard of him until this year. Let's go to the Chicken Coop, Carney Chicken Coop fan line here, because I was wondering where he was yesterday. Ernie from Wood River. Ern, what were you doing yesterday?
Well, I tried to call him a few times, but you guys are pretty busy, and I didn't make it. I've only got a 30-minute lunch, and I had to get permission to come out here at 11 to make a phone call. Now, I didn't tell him who I was calling. I just said, I got to make a phone call at 11, because I did get pulled back into the office and discussed my 11 o'clock break. So, anyways, great show, Doug, as always. Had the privilege to listen to you at least for 3 weeks when I was off at harvest picking corn.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Day, yep. Mr. Day, you're a good man and a heck of a baseball coach. However, I do have one word of advice for you. If you don't settle Steve down just a little bit, he's going to be coming to work in the body cast or the leaf of the things with broken fingers. Because I'm not liking what I'm reading on Facebook. Now, that's you might want to give him a warning.
I will give him forewarned.
Okay. First off, I want to address probably one of the highest paid guys on ESPN football, or on ESPN. That's Danny Cannell. Danny Cannell, you know, he says we need to accept. I'm gonna get fired up here, guys. We need to expect where we are in college football. We need to respect where we're at, what position we're. We know where we're at. We're supposed to be a top five, top ten team. We're supposed to be at the top of the conference in that discussion every year. It's mediocrity, and I agree with what you said there, Coach, about the quarterback play, but also over the years with the procedure calls, the penalties, we had two or three players this year that could have got us over that hump, and it just didn't happen. I don't want to see a coach go. It was a great, clean program. Guys graduated, and that's a tough call. I wish Pelini could have stayed, maybe got some assistance in here, got things switched around, and I think that probably would have helped. Recruiting was getting better. The first couple years, I don't think, was real good. He had, you know, the players we have in the NFL now that played under Pelini were the guys that Callahan brought in here. So the other one is Mr. Colin Coward, and I say Coward because for some reason when he gets in a discussion with somebody and he knows he's losing, he hangs up. Now, that's happened once that I know of. Don't tell me we can't recruit kids to Nebraska because Callahan did it. Don't tell me we're stuck where we're at because we're not. The facilities, the fans, the money we can put into this program, we get the right guy in here and we're ready to roll. We're going to be top-notch again. The thing I like about Eichhorst is Mr. Peterson, the guy, you just didn't trust him. They got people on this social media, which is really starting to irritate me, making fun of the ums and the ahs from Mr. Eichhorst, but it's all well thought out. You could just tell the guys, it's not about him. It's about the program, or as I still think Peterson was all about making a name for himself at the University of Nebraska, and you can see how that backfired. Now, as fans and as ADs and coaches, we're all still paying for the thing that Peterson did. You hit the nail right on the head, Coach, when you said what Pelini had done is true. But I'm still going to go back to saying, Randy Gregory, I question this year. I might get called on it, but I don't think it was about the program this year. I think it was all about Randy and the pros and the money next year. That's my personal assessment. You know me. I'm on the fence. I wish he could have stayed, maybe got some new recruits, but now that he's gone, it's time to move forward. Personally, you know where I'm going with this. I'd like to see Mr. Wood River come back. I seen Scott Frost play in high school. The man, he was a man among boys in high school, you know. He goes to college, Stanford, comes back to Nebraska. Look at the coach that the guy's played for. He is a smart, smart, smart individual. And you hear everybody say, you know, maybe he's 1 to 2 years away. Well, how old was Tom Osborne? I remember Tom Osborne coming in at the age of 37, did a pretty darn good job. So I think Frost is a smart enough individual that he's going to get the guys the coaches to surround him that he's going to do a darn good job.
Well, I think we're gonna know real soon, Ernie, and it'll be interesting to see if it's Scott or if it's somebody totally different.
I don't want to hold. If I get to going too long here, guys, you got to let me know because I know you got a full program.
Well, I don't want you to miss lunch, brother. I don't want you to miss lunch.
Yeah, I got about 13 minutes left. Anyway, my. My thing is, and I know in this day and age it just doesn't happen with longevity of coaches at a university. So if we do get Scott Frost in here and he gets some, there's a lot of jumping ship anymore, guys. You know, and I don't blame them. I mean, that's their career, that's their path, that's what they've chosen. They get a chance to jump up in advance. More power to them. Some of these other guys. You know, 3-4 years down the road, they get a better offer, more money from somewhere else. Boom, they're gone. There you go again. The one thing I hate about, you know, since Tom Osborne, we've had how many coaches now? I don't like it. I just don't like it at all. We just need to get some stability back in the program. And I think, my honest opinion is, I think if Scott Frost back here, I think he's going to do a super job. But like I say, he's just a smart individual. Extremely intelligent individual.
Well, and Ernie, you got to call me back when we hire a coach, because if it's not Scott, I want to know what your opinion is if it's not him. Okay.
Well, I don't know if it will. I don't know if you've seen the odds, or he's the 5-2 favorite coach.
Yeah.
If you've seen all that on 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, I've seen it. Hey, Ern, we do got to move on. I don't want to cut you short, but I always appreciate when you call the show, and I can't wait to do it again. All right, buddy.
Okay. I'll see if I can't get permission again.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Sounds good. Yep. We're going to have to hire Ernie. You don't need permission to do much around here. You don't need much.
That's the thing that I think is just amazing more so than anything, is just the unadulterated passion for Nebraska football. And I think that's the thing that whoever the new guy is going to get, or the new guy, whoever the new person is, has to understand it and has to embrace it. And not just lip service. I'm talking about genuinely believing in how big of a deal and just how passionate the fan base is in the state of Nebraska for the Cornhuskers.
Here's what Scott Frost, he was asked about it after practice yesterday.
No, I got a job to do here. These kids and this staff put too much time and effort into this. To be distracted from this. We have a job to do, and we're getting ready for it Friday.
Of course, Oregon getting ready to play Arizona in the Pac-12 championship game Friday. A win will put them into the national playoffs. And then he was asked again, hey, is this your dream job? Is everything good to go? Yada, yada.
I would let you know if I wasn't completely focused on Arizona.
And he reiterated that 2 or 3 times. And then they dropped it and went on to something else. So there you go.
I mean, he's saying everything you'd want him to say. Isn't that right? I mean, that's PR 101, coach of team you got.
This comes from the old El Conquistador. He says, if we hire Scott Frost, then Eichhorst and Perlman should be fired. We fired Bo for Frost. That's just an opinion. We've got him all over the place. Let's move on, because he is making just a little time in his schedule today to catch up with us. Jason Boyd, the head girls basketball coach at Kearney High. The season gets underway this weekend for all teams, and it won't be an easy one right out of the chutes, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Doug Duda, Damon Day, joined by Coach Boyd. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good, doing good. Kind of busy, but doing all right.
Well, we won't get all your football opinions today. We just want basketball.
That's good. You don't want my football opinion. That's good.
We know that we knew that you were going to have a lot of talent coming back this year. It is shown in the preseason rankings from the Huskerland Prep, Omaha World Herald, as high as number 5. Let's talk about how the preseason has went for you here and how practice has been going. Have you been pleased with the way this team has picked things up?
Yeah, you know, I think, I mean, we definitely have some experience back. We returned 3 starters, so it makes it easier early in the year to kind of put things in. And we've put quite a few things in already offensively. trying to put a few more things in defensively this week. But it makes it a lot easier when you have some kids that kind of have been in your system for a while and kind of, you know a lot of the stuff we've done in the past. It makes it easier to add some things throughout the year as well. So, yeah, I think we're kind of focused. Our team seems like they're pretty focused, pretty serious group, and want to, you know, want to compete and do well and you know, even improve on how we did last year.
Where do you think in the off season, in the workouts, in the experience level, where do you already pretty sure you're going to be better when you take the court this weekend?
Well, I know, yeah, I was gonna throw out the negatives right away, but the positive side of it, you know, I think it's just the scoring. We have you know, a few different kids that can score, and hopefully they can even pick it up from where they did last year. I think our post, Brianna Miller has improved her offensive game a little bit in the off season. So hopefully we can score in the post a little with her. She was really, really good for us defensively in the post last year. And I think we'll still get that from her, obviously, but hopefully add addition of some inside scoring, will help us some more, to go along with Skylar Snyder, who can score, you know, inside and out. And then Kelsey Stidham, who, you know, both of those two average around 15 points a game. So, you know, those two alone, you know, right there, we're right about 30 points just with those two returning. So, we definitely, you know, can score the ball a little bit, but we were trying to find other kids that can do it. So hopefully Bree Miller, I think, is going to help us there a little bit more. And then defensively, obviously, she gives us a lot as well.
How about the depth of the program with the kids that are returning? Do you have some youngsters that are going to be seeing some playing time for you, or at least you hope will be?
Yeah, we're still trying to find that depth. And right now, you know, we scrimmaged Grand Island Northwest this weekend, and we're definitely trying to rotate some different kids in there and figure out what our depth is and who our depth is and how deep we can go. You know, you like to be able to go at least 8 deep, maybe 9 or 10, especially early in the year. And we're trying to find that out. You know, it's kind of a good problem to have. We've had multiple kids practice well, and so we're struggling with which ones, you know, to throw in that mix. Kind of our 7, 8, 9, and 10 kids are all pretty similar. So trying to get some of those kids some opportunities in some of these games, like in the scrimmage, we tried to, and then hopefully early on. But it's not easy when you start with, you know, Millard West, number 3 team in the state. And so, you know, hopefully those kids will be ready to go. We're definitely trying to really compete hard in practice this week, and we understand we're going to get pressured and that kind of thing. And you know, and that's the side of it where the first thing I thought of when you're talking about, you know, where we're at, we're really working on being able to handle pressure. We lost Claire Sickler, our point guard, last year, so that's kind of a key for us this year, is to be able to replace that and handle pressure. We know we're going to get it, and so when we play some of those better metro schools, we need to be able to you know, compete with them as well, you know, and that's the difference. We get pressured like crazy against them, and against a lot of the other teams we play, we don't a lot, and so we're really trying to you know, show that in practice a little more this year.
Talking with Jason Boyd for another minute here, the head girls basketball coach at Kearney High. They finished the regular season 13-1 down the stretch, went 19-6 overall. And as you said, you'll take on number 3 Millard West. Tell us about that, and then what the possibilities are for Saturday.
Yeah, well, our whole little tournament there is not easy, because Millard West is 3, Bell West is 4, I think, in the World Herald anyway, and then I think Southeast is 8th right now. And so, you know, we're looking at a tough weekend for sure. We know, you know, the Millard West coach is Mark Kruger, who was at Bellevue West last year. So trying to find out what they do, you know, looking at some Bellevue West film from last year, but also looking at Millard West film from last year. And then we also got their Jamboree game they played this last weekend. So, you know, their style, Bellevue West style, has always been pressure man all over the place. And I think that's what they're going to do at Millard West now as well. So definitely working on that. They, you know, they've got some post players, a couple big post players, one really good scorer, got a good shooting guard. So trying to figure out how to defend them is one key for us. And then handling pressure, I think, is the other. And then, you know, it's kind of tough, you know, then not knowing for sure who you're playing Saturday and trying to prepare for a couple different opponents during the week a little bit this week makes it more difficult. But we're going to get the game film of that their Friday night game right afterwards. So we'll be preparing Friday night and Saturday as well. So, but we definitely have a tough opening weekend. obviously, playing, you know, for sure we're going to play two ranked teams this weekend. So hopefully our kids are ready to go.
Well, you're going to get a chance to see a couple of Metro teams come in, as we said, on Friday night with Millard West. Millard South comes in on the 13th. The GNAC tournament will be just down the road at Hastings, so you won't get to see the beautiful Scotts Bluff scenery this year, but we're going to get a chance to see Kearney basketball throughout the season. And, Coach, can't wait to see you guys in the gym. I'll let you get back to class. Thanks for squeezing us in.
All right. Thanks a lot, Doug.
You bet. Jason Boyd, head girls basketball coach at Kearney High. Again, Millard West comes in, and then on the other side, it's boys and girls. Lincoln Northeast will play Bellevue West. We need to take a break here.
I'm glad I could give my women's basketball knowledge. I'm glad I could add to that interview right there.
I knew you were really deep on knowledge.
You know, my brother's a high school basketball coach, girls basketball coach.
Well, you should have had something.
I know nothing.
And we will be right back. we'll take a break. Dirk Chatlin is set to go, and we come back.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just wait happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 52. We'll see wind gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low near 20. For Wednesday, we'll have sunny skies, cooler temperatures, with a high near 35. Currently, it's 30.
Oh, the controversy that comes around this program. Ernie from Wood River, Fred from Tecumseh. We've even got an H-man from Riverdale email today, and he said it was all over when we hired Bo. When they fired Bill Callahan, he was done. I don't know if we've had more than two emails from H-man from Riverdale in the last 7 years, so I can't wait to get to that. We're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Hurry in and get some of the great discounts that they have here in the first month, or the first of the month of December, and get up to $1,500 customer cash back on a variety of award-winning cars, trucks, Jeeps, SUVs, vans. Chevrolet has 0% APR for qualified buyers, plus a $1,000 purchase bonus cash, plus no monthly payments until next year on most new vehicles in stock. They have expanded. They're growing. They're getting bigger and bigger, and they are hiring right now. If you're looking maybe at the end of the year, you want to make that change, go to MidwayCareers.com. You can see all the openings that they have everywhere, from General Motors certified and Chrysler technicians to operators and everything in between. Go to MidwayCareers.com. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Doug Duda, UNK baseball coach, Damon Day, my co-host here on this Tuesday, and we welcome in Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald. Dirk, good morning, and are you getting any sleep, Dad?
You know, there's a lot of rumors to chase right now, but there's not a whole lot of concrete evidence. Even any reports, you know, a lot of times you'll get reports in other markets that this person is talking to Nebraska, and you're not even getting a lot of that. So it's pretty quiet yet. We'll see if it changes throughout the course of the week. But right now, Sean Eichhorst is keeping things sealed pretty tight.
I want to talk a little bit about the season before we get into the coaching search. Just two football players were named. Excuse me, were named first team All Big Ten last night. Was that a little bit of a surprise?
Well, it was a little bit. I mean, I think, you know, that as Damon knows and as you know, I mean, that stuff is based a lot of times on team success. And I think Nebraska had enough talent to probably get a couple more guys on there. Malik Collins easily could have been a first teamer, I think. But you know, that just kind of comes with the territory when you go 5-3 in the league. So you know, it's too bad because, you know, that's a big goal for some of those guys. But I think in hindsight, it's not a terrible surprise considering how the last month played out.
What about this current group of players now that we'll have a coaching change? We talked a little bit about recruiting yesterday, and most of those guys are in that wait-and-see spot right now, depending on who comes in and if they like him or not, I guess. But as far as the current group, we just assume Randy Gregory's out the door. Avery Moss won't come back now. You got any comments on that or other players?
Well, no, it's too soon to say, I think. You know, there's kind of that initial burst of emotion that you saw on Sunday with a lot of those guys. I think if you ask those guys at that moment, are you in or are you out? I think, you know, you might have had 30, 40 guys say, I'm out. But as emotions cool off a little bit, I think it's sort of the same thing with fans. You know, they kind of assess the situation and realize, okay, you know, Nebraska is still Nebraska, and I can still get a good education, and I'll still get playing time next year. And, you know, for some of those guys, a coaching change might be good. So I think, you know, they're going to lose. They'll probably lose half a dozen guys to transfer. I mean, that's pretty typical with a coaching change. But I think, you know, there's a decent amount of talent in the cupboard still. What concerned me a little bit about, you know, bringing Bo back is that, you know, you lose Bell, you lose Abdullah, you lose Gregory. And I think offensively, especially, there are going to have to be some changes to move the ball consistently next year without Abdullah and Bell. So, you know, I think offensively is probably the biggest concern next year. Tommy Armstrong showed some progress against Iowa, but he hasn't been good enough this year consistently. The offensive line has not been good enough consistently, and running back, I think, is a real concern going into next year. So, you know, the offensive talent lacks a little bit, and I think any coach that comes in, that might be where his biggest struggle is.
Dirk Chatelain, Omaha World Herald, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We've got tweets and emails, and we'll get to a couple of those for Dirk. And Damon's got a couple questions for Dirk as well. But do you have the feeling, because my gut says that Sean Eichhorst does have the next coach picked out? Do you think he does?
I do think he does. I think if he's telling the truth, and you're never 100% sure that a guy in that position is telling the truth. But, you know, when I asked him on Sunday, are you using a search firm? And he said no. In my opinion, that was a signal that he had it narrowed down pretty tight. And if he didn't have his man already, he had it narrowed down to two or three guys who he was confident were going to take the job. You know, when you enlist a search firm, a lot of times you're trying to, you know, kind of see what's out there, see who might be interested. Working middlemen and agents and all that, I don't get a sense that Sean Eichhorst is doing that, because if he was doing it, you'd be hearing more reports around the country. You'd be hearing more people, you know, saying Nebraska contacted this guy. That's just the way the agents do it. They put their guy's name out there, and you're not hearing a lot of that right now. So, you know, I think it's a sign that Eichhorst has got it narrowed down pretty tight if he doesn't have his guy. And what's interesting to me, Doug, is, you know, with the way that last November played out, I think it's possible that he had his guy 365 days ago. And basically, you know, Nebraska didn't make a move at that time, but it, you know, he's essentially been sitting on a guy for a year or sitting on a couple guys for a year. I don't get the sense that this is something he was probably just thinking about in the last month, you know, and trying to get his ducks in a row. I think he's probably, you know, I think he probably did his talent evaluation on other coaches that he might like to see in Lincoln a long time ago.
Interesting point that Dirk brings up, and producer Jeff here, he brings me up an old piece of work here that when we were looking for a basketball coach at Nebraska, we had this piece of information that Bill Byrne said, had told the sports administration class here at UNK that you never fire a coach until you know who your next coach is going to be. He told them the searching for coaches for every sport is the 24/7 duty of an athletic director. No matter how you feel about your current coach, you always search for their replacement, and you should always have a short list of candidates that you can contact immediately if your coaching situation changes. So I don't know if there's a class for ADs, but that could be one of them, Damon.
Yeah, that's a pretty revealing, you know, statement, isn't it? I mean, I think you always get the sense that these guys are behind their coaches, or at least want to be behind their coaches, but, you know, in their business, they better have a plan B figured out.
Damon Day here, and you know, you and Mr. Chattel and the Omaha World Herald have always been rather hard on Coach Pelini the past couple of years, and obviously the fan base is divided 50-50 on it as well. But what do you think were the true reasons why he was let go? What were two or three of those really hardcore reasons on this is why the change was made?
Well, my guess is, and I don't have any more insight than what Sean Eichhorst gave the other day, but my guess is it's two things. One is the embarrassment, you know, the embarrassments in big games. Wisconsin stood out this year, obviously. You know, when Eichhorst was asked the other day, you know, when he made the decision, he said it crystallized, you know, Saturday night. But, you know, reading between the lines, I think it probably, my guess is it was pretty much finished after the Wisconsin game. You know, the way that thing played out, you know, knocking Nebraska out of divisional contention, you know, that was my hunch is that was probably the game that did it. So, and that's representative of, you know, what's happened several times over the last couple of years, those blowouts in big games. The second factor, and Eichhorst sort of alluded to it vaguely, but there is a, you know, there is a personality difference, I think, between the type of coach that he's looking for and the type of coach that Pelini was. You know, Bo had so many loyalists and had a lot of people that believed in him, but he also kind of turned some people away. I think, you know, it's been often referred to as kind of the us versus the world mentality. And, you know, you contrast that with a guy like Tim Miles, who has a real big tent and tries to bring everybody into it. And I just think Eichhorst was looking for a guy more like that. I mean, Nebraska is not a very big place. You know, the population base isn't very big. And I think you can't afford to, you know, to be a divisive figure. So I think even both supporters would agree that he was a divisive figure. And my sense is that the athletic director wasn't crazy about that.
Dirk Chatlin with us for another couple minutes from the Omaha World Herald right here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Dirk, I there's three or four ways, I guess, to pose the question, but it was brought up on the show yesterday. It was brought up a couple of times during all this going on. What was it about covering the Huskers that didn't allow the World Herald and even yourself to mix with Bo? I mean, we know that there was confrontation, and a lot of people think that, hey, the World Herald just wanted, and Dirk Chatlin just wanted Bo fired. Well, how do you respond to that?
I cover things pretty much the same way in anything I've ever done. I mean, 11, 12 years ago, when I was a Daily Nebraskan reporter, Woo-hoo. I went down to Kansas State and covered a game where Nebraska got blown out, and you know, I sort of pressed Bill Snyder after the game on why he ran up the score on Nebraska, and that created a tense exchange in a press conference when I was 22 years old. You know, so it's not a bow thing with me. I mean, to be honest, I ticked off Barry Collier. You know, I ticked off Bill Callahan. I mean, it's just I try to represent fans and ask the questions that need to be asked. And some people think that that's being too hard, and I respect that and I understand that, and I can, you know, I can take that. But I also think that a lot of people, you know, wanted to know things that needed to be asked or that needed to be written. And, you know, I think the World Herald feels sort of a responsibility to cover the program as seriously and as skeptically as possible. And some people see that as negative. I tend to see it more as accurate, but there's going to be differences of opinion. You know, there's a lot of people who said we were way too harsh. There's, you know, a lot of people that said, you know, I'd get out of a press conference and they'd say, you know, I can't believe you didn't ask him about this. And so it's just, you can't please everybody, but we try to do things, you know, as fairly and accurately as possible.
Damon Day here again, and I enjoy your work because I've learned a lot about Husker football, not being a native of Nebraska, but having to kind of fake being a native of Nebraska when everybody thinks that you've just lived in the state your whole life. But I've enjoyed your work. But in your estimation, who's next, or what is the big characteristic of the next head coach?
Well, I think that just sort of reading the tea leaves, I would be really surprised if it's not somebody that had head coaching experience. And that rules out a pretty big list of guys, including Scott Frost, including Pat Narduzzi, including some, you know, some really big time candidates, I think. But there's just a sense, I think, kind of reading the situation, you know, talking to a few people, that Nebraska doesn't want to try the first time head coach again. So, I also think that would be point one. Point two would be, I think they're going to spend a bunch of money, or I think they're going to spend a bunch of money if they have to. Financially, you know, the athletic director is making $1 million. The Big Ten contract is bringing in, you know, more money than Nebraska's ever had before. The program is big enough here. It's important enough here where I would not be surprised one bit if a month from now Nebraska's head coach was, you know, in the top five nationally in salary. Now, that should be able to entice a pretty good range of candidates, even some guys at some Power Five conference schools. So my sense is that it will be a Power Five conference coach who's going to be making a bunch of money at the end of this thing. And, you know, it's possible that maybe it's a guy we've never heard of before. Maybe it's somebody that Sean Eichhorst knew 15 years ago, you know, when he ran into him at some seminar or something like that. But my guess is, just based on how things are going and what you hear, that it's going to be a pretty big name, and a pretty big name that's going to be making a bunch of money at the end of this deal.
How long will they give him, Dirk, now that, and I'll let you kind of out of here with this one, how long does the next coach have, considering what we have now kind of set up as expectations?
Well, you know, next year is going to be really interesting, because two of Nebraska's first three games are very losable, and they were very losable even with Bo. BYU and Miami are two teams that can beat you. And, you know, I think it would be a real tough scenario if you go back to 2004, for instance, and you look what happened the second game of the season that year. They lost to Southern Mississippi, and people were kind of, you know, grumbling already. I would be surprised if Nebraska gets out of September next year unscathed. I think they're going to lose a game. You know, they might even lose the opener. But I think, you know, the division sets up pretty well for Nebraska. If they can get their ducks in a row, you know, you've got 5-6 gimme wins every year. You know, you're playing Purdue, you're playing Rutgers, you're playing Illinois, you're playing a couple games, Northwestern, you're playing a couple games in the non-conference that you should win. So I think the floor for Nebraska is pretty high. I think you can win, you know, 8 games here even in a bad year. So that should probably buy the guy some time. But I would think by year 3, you know, Nebraska better be better be in that Big Ten championship game, or things are going to be getting kind of nervous.
All right, Dirk. Hey, I appreciate you joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show as always, and keep up the great work. We'll chat again soon. Happy holidays, man.
You too, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dirk Chatelain, Omaha World Herald. Dirk's a good guy.
And oh no, I think
a lot of people, and that's funny when he goes back and talks about the Daily Nebraskan issue. So he's had fairly thick skin for quite a while. Now, I don't know that anybody's wanted to choke him out like Coach Pelini did a couple of times, but Coach Pelini is not media savvy.
He's in a tough spot because there's only one newspaper, and everybody reads that newspaper. If you're going to read about the Huskers, you're going to go to, you know, Omaha.com type of thing. There's only, you know.
And SIP, come on.
Well, in the.
Come on.
There's only one major large newspaper that covers the entire state. I will give you the Lincoln Journal Star, but. For example, I don't read the Lincoln Journal Star, but I'll read the World Herald.
Oh, well, I got both every day, so yeah.
But I think he does. He's right. He does take his job very, very seriously as being a steward of Nebraska football and trying to bring an accountability to him and almost a cynicism to what you're trying to accomplish. Because unfortunately, as we've learned, or fortunately, or however you're what glasses you look at this through. Nebraska's either you feel like they were successful under Bo, or you think that Bo was a failure, and that's kind of how you're going to perceive the articles that you read is what glasses that you look through it as. There's a lot of people that I've read, and even within my own family and friends that I've talked to, who thought that Bo Pelini's tenure here was an utter mess, was an utter failure because that's truly though, I don't want to say delusional Husker fan or whatnot, but the losses were so bad that they just feel like, you know, we were never really in it. We never really had a chance to win a national championship. But the landscape has changed so much, and that would be my interesting take to continue to look into. Is Nebraska truly built to win a national championship?
Well, again, as I've said for a long time, it takes so many components. It's not like it used to be. There's more good teams. There's more parity. It's harder to get people in here. We don't, you know. We went down that line of where Nebraska used to be better than most people in facilities and the weight room and all the other things that go along with it. Now, pretty much everybody that's in a top 25 has caught up. But I'm getting this national perception. Cowherd said it. Cannell said it. A lot of people have said it. They had it yesterday on, you know, Pardon the Interruption. They had it on Around the Horn. And everybody's going, I don't know what Nebraska is looking at. Yeah, you don't want to get the blowout loss, but a lot of people says Nebraska is just a 9-10 win program, which, you know, most of the time that's pretty darn good. And that's where the real needle in all of this comes, that it's not good enough and that you can't lose by big numbers. You can't get beat by 30.
And maybe the fairer question is the Big Ten prepared to win a national championship? Right now they're not, with just a cycle of things, but they all come in waves. I mean, you know, remember USC with Bush and Leinart? Everybody was ready just to cancel the college football season because they were that good, type of thing. But is it a Big Ten thing? Because you even look at Ohio State, who's going to, if they win, obviously the JT Barrett injury. But even would they get into the Final Four by winning it with one loss? I mean, is it a Big Ten thing as much as it is a Nebraska thing? Because look at the former conference that the Huskers were in. They got two teams that are getting an opportunity to get discussions for
TCU and Baylor.
Right. They're getting two teams in the discussion as far as being the Big 12, and the Big 10 seems to be that little.
God, they used to get made fun of a lot.
I know.
Big 12, not
yes.
TCU.
No, no, but Big 12 in general. And that's why I think it's a cyclical thing, and obviously.
Is it a Nebraska thing? They just make fun of us no matter where we're at?
No, I think that it's the Big Ten question more than it is a Nebraska question. I think that everybody's in this state's looking at it from, this is Nebraska, but I think you could be sitting in Wisconsin right now and saying the same thing as ours. Even if we win the Big Ten, do we get to go to the playoff? If we're a one-loss team, or if you're sitting in Indiana or even Ohio. I mean, look at Ohio State. They went, you know, they're going to have a heck of a run, and there's a good chance that they're not going to get into the Final Four. So I think it's more of a Big Ten having a little bit of a blockade towards getting to that national championship more so than just the University of Nebraska.
Let me tell you where you would – Nebraska and Coach Pelini had the 24th highest salary. And you look at some of the guys that are a little higher up the list. Like Gary Patterson at TCU is 11th. Who would guess that? And if he is in the top five, that means you would get paid $5 million a year or more, which would be more than Urban Meyer. The top five are Nick Saban, Alabama, Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State, Stoops at Oklahoma, Kevin Sumlin, at Texas A&M and Charlie Strong at Texas. So there you go. Then you drop down to Ohio State, LSU, Penn State, Iowa, and the old ball coach at South Carolina sits in the number 10 hole. Let's hit an email here. We'll take a break, but first an email. This comes from Nate. He says, I have to agree with Ernie on his points of settling, and I think the Bo Leavers were willing to settle, and I don't think we should. That was what we saw in 7 years with Bo when we were beaten by Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and the bowl losses to South Carolina and Georgia. I think Eichhorst is moving in the right direction. The only thing I will disagree with him is Frost. I don't think we are going to go for that first-time coach again. Great offensive coordinator, but all the fans, even the Bo Leavers, won't want to wait for Frost to develop as a coach. We need an established coach. End of story. Go Big Red, says Nate. I'm saving H-Man. This comes from Ryan. There were unintended results that follow the firing of Coach Bo. The bottom line is we have better talent than what showed up on the field during game day. Also, getting out coached and not being able to adjust against good teams was a pattern year after year. In the West, you have to be able to beat Wisconsin, and I don't think that is asking too much. He says Jim Rome made a lot of sense in what he has said about the situation. Bo's a good man. It's too bad he couldn't translate his love for the players to more results on the field. Let's go to Broken Bow. Alan is tuning into the Doug and Daddy show today. Alan, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to call and say, you know, I thought it was kind of sad to see Bo go, but, you know, he was a good coach. You know, when you got 9-4, 9-, you know, maybe he would have went 10-3 this year, but, you know, it's kind of sad to see him go. But I was just wondering what happened if they did hire another coach and they went 0-13 the first year he was a coach. You know what I'm saying?
You know what would happen, Alan? You know what would happen? They would blame Bo. They would blame Bo that we didn't have good players.
Well, I think we had good players. It's just a lot of penalties. I thought was kind of uncalled for. Some of the refs that called some of them penalties, you know. I just thought Bo did a pretty good job in his 7 years, and, you know, it didn't take Tom Osborne and Bob Devaney, you know, 10 years before they even got a national championship. But I know they won some Big Eights and Big 12s, you know, but I remember a lot of games where Bob Devaney got blown out, too.
I'll tell you what, Alan, you might have hit it right on the head. Bo Pelini did do a pretty good job. But people around here wanted him to do a perfect or great job, and that's what got him fired.
Yeah, I say that. I think, you know, like he said one time in a news conference, if they can do better, they come and coach, because I thought he did pretty good.
Hey, Alan. Thanks so much for the call, Alan. Be good.
Yeah, you too. Have a warm day.
Oh, I'm going to try. It's always warm in here for the most part, unless the wind's howling. Of course, you're layered up. He did a pretty good job. He didn't do an exceptional job. That's the difference. We'll take a break. H-Man from Riverdale, all conference volleyballs out. More of your emails, more of your tweets and Facebook messages if you'd like to send them to us right after this.
It's third down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a free month of service. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies with the nation's largest fixed wireless network, Prairie iNet Internet delivers. Call and get a free month of internet just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call now. Call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Santa wears Husker red, and so can you, along with a lot of other colors from TM Sporting Goods in the downtown Kearney Center. Santa and you might also consider Under Armour for crisp outdoor jaunts. If you have a player on your Christmas list, see Steve and Tino for expert advice on equipment and accessories for every sport and the know-how to help you buy right. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design, and like them on Facebook for daily holiday specials.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on 1st, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Doug and Natty Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Damon Day with you on this Tuesday, where your lunch special at Chicken Coop in Kearney is a salad and a soda for only $7. Or a lemonade or a tea. Doesn't have to be soda. You know, you throw water in there. But, you know, they don't charge for water there at the Chicken Coop. A lot of places say they are sports bar and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop, saving you money for lunch every single day. And then if you get in, or maybe you're off that early shift, you can slide on in the afternoon, 2 to 5:30, specials on appetizers, long necks, and draws. The Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, downtown Kearney, inviting you in to watch your favorite sports. Maybe you're going to book a little Christmas party or get together. Do it now. Their basement has all the fun things with the pool tables and dart boards and video games and even just a gathering place. If you're not into all of that, they can definitely house your party at Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney. We have got a lot more to get to, but it's been so long, we don't even have the angry Star Wars theme, do we, anymore, Jeff, for the H-Man from Riverdale emails. Here's what H-Man says, though. Let me be up front. As I was walking to the stadium to watch the Minnesota game, I had a revelation. I could not watch that crap football anymore. So as I was within 100 yards of entering the stadium, I saw a Minnesota fan with one finger in the air, signifying he needed a ticket. And I gave him my ticket, said I'd see the others in my group later, and went back to Duffy's. But firing Pelini, not totally against it, if Eichhorst has someone. If Eichhorst does not have someone to replace Pelini and does not introduce this guy within the next 10 days, I do not support the firing. As of right now, it seems like a guy driving across the desert in his Acura, and he keeps getting passed by a Mercedes. So he responds by stopping in the middle of the desert, leaves his Acura, and starts walking in hope that someone will drive by and give him a Mercedes to complete the trip. Eichhorst better know what he's doing, or it's Bill Jennings and Billy Callahan all over again. And please don't bring up the Tressel character. Isn't him being a liar and fraud enough to make him a non-candidate? It is for me. H-Man from Riverdale. Let's go to Oxford. Brandon from Oxford is standing by on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. Brandon, thanks for standing by. What's going on?
Oh, not a lot. Just a lot of discussion about the Bo Pelini firing. I must say I'm not totally against it or for it, but there's a lot of – do you think the program has moved forward in the last 4 years, Doug? Because everything you're saying on the radio is we can't get any better than where we've been.
No, I'm not saying that. That's what national media is saying. I'm not saying that at all. I do believe the program has moved forward. I also can sit here all day and point out the breaks that Nebraska did get or didn't get. I mean – kind of in, it just passed earlier in the show today. It was kind of tongue in cheek. But if Taylor Martinez develops the way Taylor Martinez should have developed and doesn't get injured, Nebraska, maybe they're playing for it all and you get a free pass this year because Tommy Armstrong had never seen the field. You hardly ever fire a football coach when they've got a brand new quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of instances like that. And I've said all along that, yeah, Alabama's there. You can't name me the programs that are in contention every single year because you'll still have fingers on your one hand.
No, and I don't think we should be in contention every year, but we should be able to be in contention once or twice in a five-year span and the same mistakes happen every year, and we get out-coached in the second half. How many losses have we been up 21-3 or 17-3, and then we come out and they score 40-some unanswered points and we get blown out?
I agree.
That's coaching, and we've never changed. Bo has never adapted and gotten any better in that respect. So I think, you know, if he wasn't willing to change and get better and hire some new coordinators that were willing to do something different, Bo even said it this year, he couldn't point his finger to what happened at Wisconsin. So our head coach doesn't know why it happened, and how can he coach the kid to get any better?
I think there's a couple of things there, and in this day and age, you can really point at a lot of things. And Bill, I think some of his answers started to sound a little too much like Bill Callahan, which obviously irritated every Nebraska fan in the world. And then there were some times a coach can't say anything because the player just doesn't get it. He probably got replaced after Nebraska did move some players around, especially over the last 2 years, because other guys just didn't get it. And he's not going to throw his players under the bus.
No, and he shouldn't. I guess Ikorst has got to hire the right guy, and I feel if we get the right guy, we should be just fine and better than where we are at. And if he doesn't, it's going to be the same situation as before. So,
well, Brandon, hey, appreciate the call. Thanks for listening, man.
Thank you.
Love the passion of all Husker fans. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question: do you agree with the decision to fire Bo Pelini? That was on our extended show yesterday. 75% said yes. 25% said no. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. The new college football playoffs rankings come out tonight. Which team should be number 4 in that ranking? Baylor, Ohio State, or TCU? Damon?
Ohio State.
I just, you know, everybody seems to agree that TCU is the better team than Baylor. Baylor beat him. I'm sorry.
That is the biggest travesty of this whole thing, is you're going to tell me that you know better than what happened on the field.
But
you know better than what happened on the field.
Baylor doesn't look better than TCU.
It was settled on the field. How can you take that away from me? You're basically saying, oh, well, I know more than what actually happened.
Yeah, but they didn't look good last week, and I know their quarterback got hurt. You know, I'd probably put Baylor there today, but if Ohio State wins the championship on Saturday. The problem is Ohio State's loss smells just as bad as Baylor's loss. It'll be interesting.
I think Ohio State's loss was worse than Baylor's.
If Alabama loses, are they still going to make it? Two-loss SEC team that's number one right now? I mean, would they really fall below two of those three teams? That's what I think will be the interesting take from all of this. Let's get to more of your emails. Chris from Lawrence says, you think Sean looked at the 2015 schedule and saw another 9-win season if we're lucky, says Chris from Lawrence. Dirk pointed out, 7 wins should be a gimme. Problem is, there are no gimmies anymore. I mean, Illinois is going to a bowl game, for crying out loud. So they have to beat somebody. They beat Minnesota.
Parity is very much alive and well in college football right now.
John and Kearney, Bo did a good job. Not above average job or exceptional job. Come on, guys. Think with your head, not your hearts, as Husker fans always do. We need a coach that can put together meaningful wins and that does not have a personality that clashes with the $100 million worth of fans that fill the stadium. Again, 9-16 against ranked teams and no real meaningful wins, no title contentions, and a view into the future that was not too bright. John and Kearney. But Damon, they were exciting games. 52-0's not exciting. They were exciting games. Hail Marys, come from behinds, biggest comebacks in school history a couple of times. Made it exciting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Without a lot of first-team All-Americans. Now, is that because they didn't get coached up? I don't know.
It's amazing how many people want to blame like one thing, or say it's one thing or another thing, and that's just what the nature of it. And anywhere you go along the lines, it all, like I said, it all comes back to your perspective on where you think it's going to be and how it's going to end up. But at the end of the day, everybody asks Sean, the athletic director, has asked for everybody's trust, and I guess that's all you can really do is trust in the fact that he's going to make the decision that he feels is best for the Nebraska football program.
We'll take a break. More after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Lift the hearts of others and let people know you care this holiday season. Spread joy with the help from Copycat Printing. Send greetings with personalized holiday cards, calendars, or festive stationery. At Copycat Printing, it's easy. Simply go to our website, carneycopycat.com, and click on Shop to browse through lots of new choices, both business and personal. Or make an impression and have your holiday cards custom made by our talented designers. Make the season yours with Copycat Printing in Kearney. Like us on Facebook for additional savings.
Joy, a feeling of great happiness that's often given when helping others and doing what's right. If someone you know has spent the year giving the gift of joy, nominate them at fnbplattevalley.com/joy. We'll be drawing three winners for a $100 prepaid card between December 8th and 19th so we can give back to those who give so much. Visit fnbplattevalley.com/joy. First National Bank, member FDIC.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you and always here at chsagri.com.
Goodwill is dedicated to helping people with disabilities or barriers achieve their goals and improve their quality of life.
Your gift to Goodwill's annual campaign helps people thrive through the power of work.
Goodwill helps people find a job and achieve their greatest potential.
Because of Goodwill, I now have a great job.
People receiving services get the support they need to live, work, learn, and participate fully in the community. Goodwill.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
Ian Eagle here with a preview of Thursday night football. Mike Mayock and I will be on hand for all the action as Jay Cutler and the Chicago Bears host Tony Romo and the Cowboys. Dallas is 5-0 on the road and is looking to keep that streak alive as they visit Soldier Field. Join us for the Cowboys and the Bears on Thursday night football and hear the NFL all season from Westwood One.
Cowboys Bears Thursday night on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Damon Day. Another winner in the Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge. Shaw rules, huh?
Yeah.
Shaw rules. He ruled this week. He won week 13 of the Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge. Shaw rules. You can check the group page on ESPN for your prize information. There's just 4 weeks left to win our weekly $25 prize to Cunningham's, and then all the winners get an entry into the $200 Super Bowl party giveaway at the end of Week 17. Shaw Rules had Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck as his quarterbacks. Very important to have Luck. DeMarco Murray and Le'Veon Bell, also important there. Jordy Nelson and Dez Bryant, his wide receivers kind of let him down a little bit there, but he did well enough. Nobody had a great kicking weekend either, it didn't look like. But he had the Rams defense. Rams defense brought it home for Shaw Rules. You can play for free every week at ESPNSuperstation.com. Cowboys Bears, as you heard, this Thursday night. Again, we still have a little time left. If you want to talk, if you want to call the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line at 888-455-3776, do it. If you want to tweet us at ESPN1460-1550, do it. If you want to email us at the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, do it. We will get to your Husker football take. The Nebraska volleyball team is represented on the All-Big Ten team with Kelsey Fien and Katie Rolfson. First team, honorable mention goes to setter Mary Pohlmiller. And the Sportsmanship Award for Nebraska goes to Mary Pohlmiller. That was for volleyball. Amir Abdullah got it for football. Couple other notes. Scott Frost is one of the finalists for the Broyles Award, which goes to the best assistant coach. We mentioned yesterday Nate Gary and DeMornay Personnel. Big Ten honors Gary, the defensive player of the week, DeMornay Personnel, the co-special teams player of the week. Do you know that Personnel leads the nation in punt return yards, and it's the most, 589, by any player in Division I since 2008, Damon. 2008.
He's dynamic.
Yeah, I didn't coach him up, though. All-conference, Randy Gregory, Kenny Bell, first team. Second team, Amir Abdullah, Melvin Gordon, and Coleman from Indiana were ahead of him. So, and they could be 1-2 on the national list when that comes out. Malik Collins, Nate Gary, second team. Honorable mention to our man, punter Sam Foltz, Zaire Anderson, Corey Cooper, Jake Cotton, Alex Lewis, and Josh Mitchell. Husker men, they look good in spurts last night. About let an 18-point lead get away and beat Florida State 70-65. So they go to Rhode Island, come back, go to Florida State, come back, and then they're going to go to Hawaii. Sounds like a good deal for the 12th guy on the bench, ain't it? You want to be a student manager? Yeah, I got no doubt I'll be the manager. Nebraska women, 12th in the country, will host number 9 Duke tomorrow night at Pinnacle Bank in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. The Loper men, 87-66 over Doan yesterday. Preseason basketball rankings from the Omaha World Herald for girls are out. As we stated, Kearney was 5th in A. In B, Holdridge 6th, Grand Island Northwest 8th. In C1, Kearney Catholic 2nd, Minden 3rd. In C2, Hastings St. Cecilia 2nd, Centura 5th. In D1, Ansley Litchfield 7th, Arapahoe 9th. In D2, Giltner 4th, and Lawrence Nelson 8th. The number one teams are Omaha Benson, Lincoln Pius X, Pierce, Crofton, Emerson Hubbard, and why not? Wrestling out as well. 4 of the top 6 teams in Class A will be at the Kearney High Invite this Saturday. You'll hear the finals at approximately 4 o'clock on Classic Hits 98.9. Millard South's number 1, the teams that will be there, number 2 Hastings, number 3 Grand Island, number 5 Kearney, number 6 Lincoln Southwest, Omaha Scuts, number 1 in B. David City is number 1 in C. St. Paul is 10th. Central City, 7th. Amherst is number 1 in D. Franklin is 9th. Amherst and O'Neill, who's 2nd in Class C, will duel each other at the Devaney Center on the 13th of this month, preceding the Nebraska-Wisconsin duel, something they started a handful of years ago. Grand Island's been there. They're going to be back in this year. Kearney's been there. But this will be 2 of the top teams from the state. Usually they're dueling somebody, I mean, Scott, I think, took on, was it Grand Island? They've had one other one that was kind of meaningful in the state. They brought in Missouri and other teams. But we will be covering that again a week from Saturday. So, well, anything else on your mind, Mr. Day?
Nope. Johnny Football.
Oh, please.
Johnny Football. Please don't start him. Please don't start him.
Oh.
Seriously, did you see him just lay there in the end zone? After he fumbled the ball, did you just see him just lay there?
No, because who watches Browns football?
I do. Unfortunately, I do. And even my son asked me, what's he doing? I was like, I don't know, Bubba. He's just laying there.
He's counting the money.
Oh, you're down 26-3, and you're going to.
Counting the money.
That's like the guy who was getting blown out against Auburn after Alabama went up by like 25 points or something. And the guy from Auburn got a sack or something and started to dance around and do the. The shake, and I was just like, really, man?
Future Oakland Raider.
Really? That's you? I was like, man, where was that energy a couple plays ago when they were running it all over you?
Well, one thing you don't have to worry about going and going and going, and that's your T&L pivot. When it is time, T&L is there for you. Proven technology that works. Let T&L Irrigation Company and their dealers throughout the state of Nebraska, Kansas, and worldwide give you lasting value and decades of dependability. They're easier on you for a lifetime. Find out more about the Precision Link enabling web-based pivot control for all of your T&L pivot systems, which means you don't have to be home and you don't have to drive out to the field. Just use your computer, use your smartphone, and you can turn it on and off, change directions, and it's all there for you. T&L Difference, T&L Irrigation Systems. Think we've hit it all today. Are we clean, Jeff? Is that it?
We're good.
Are we good?
Yep.
As long as Jeff's good. I want Jeff to be good. You good, Damon?
Good.
Let's play some music.
It was a good day.
Still some angry people out there.
No.
Yeah, but the quicker he can hire a coach, the quicker he can change the tenor.
Yeah, but it's all about the bass, not the tenor.
Oh, I wouldn't know that reference.
No.
Darn.
I suppose you're just home watching Christmas movies right now. Bubba, does he get into this Christmas stuff?
Oh, yeah. My little girl, Emma, just stares at the tree. Yeah. Huge. Yeah, I look like I got the lights up on the bushes, the house. We're the Griswolds. We're a huge Christmas family.
So awesome. Next week, we will give you the address. Folks, we want to thank Dirk Chandler of the Omaha World Herald, Kearney Girls Basketball Coach Jason Boyd for joining us, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. We'll be on the program tomorrow. We've got our Loper Link and a whole lot more. We're off to Bandits on Thursday. More basketball, more wrestling talk as the week continues. Damon Day. Thanks so much for dropping by and have fun with winter baseball.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.